if you missed any of the first hour, you can go back to iHeartRadio and listen to the podcast, or betterlawns.com, and you will hear the podcast. It's uploaded every week, and so you can catch that for, you know, if you miss it. And you don't have to wake up early. You can hear it 24/7, right?
Exactly. Just download the free iHeartRadio app. It's easy. And then you just search Better Lawns and Gardens, and you're going to find us there.
There you go.
I mean, if you want to.
We had a great first hour, Lizzie, so I appreciate that. And I think it's time for the dirty word of the day.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is obaitori. Obaitori. Obaitori is a Japanese philosophy concept of appreciating your own self and growth. Each Japanese character, this is a Japanese word for the characters, individually represent a different flower. Cherry, apricot, peach, and plum. These trees bloom in spring, a season that is a wonderful spectacle of colors in Japan, bathing the landscape in shades of pink, mauve, blush, and white. Often these trees grow close together, but each bloom in a specific order, shape, and time. They all bring something unique to the landscape. Each embellishes it in their own way. For this reason, the Japanese word obaitori contains the principle of non-comparison. Although all these trees produce beautiful flowers that mature into juicy fruits, obaitori celebrates the uniqueness of each one. Therefore, neither its flowers nor its fruits are comparable. We don't compare cherries to peaches, nor apricots to plums. We can't. They all taste different, look different, and each one is distinctive unto itself. Obaitori takes this idea and applies it to people. Each flower, which grows according to its rhythm, with its own colors, aromas, and fruits, is a permanent reminder that we all following a once-in-a-lifetime journey. This means that it makes no sense to compare ourselves with others, but it's much better to focus on our own growth and value what makes us special. Just as flowers grow differently, people also develop differently. We're all different. Different skills and passions, different paths, different goals, and we should be proud of what makes us unique as our gardens. They are different plant species, different designs, different materials, different purposes. Be proud of your uniqueness. Be proud of your garden and yourself. It's a great goal to strive for in 2024. Obaitori is the dirty word of the day.
All right.
I love that philosophy.
I really do too.
And it's going towards my goal of being non-judgmental. And, you know, I just, you know, criticism, I think everybody does it nowadays. But I'm going to tell you if you're doing something wrong. I can't get that out of my system.
See, that's,
it's genetic.
Yeah, but that's not really judging or criticizing. That's just helping people continue onto a better path versus being on the ditch in the road.
There you go. I like that.
You're
being
welcome.
On the ditch in the road.
That's a redneck philosophy right there.
There you go. I love it. Well, obaitori, so you that try and use it this week, and or try to absorb it and emit that. So that will be great. Now, we do have some things for you to do indoors for your indoor plants. And let's see. Here we go. I'm just moving things around here a little bit. You want to make sure that you're not overwatering your cactus and succulents this month. With this rainfall, we don't need to be applying extra water. And if your cactuses and succulents are on the pool area, you might want to move them to an area where they're not getting as much rain. They'll start to get soggy and then they fall over, and it just is not a good sight. Also, too, you want to feed your winter vegetables and herbs. Your annuals, you can feed during the wintertime because they're a short-seasoned plant. You want to get the best growth possible. And again, we're going to be seeing temperatures in the 70s and 80s, and the plants grow, and they need to have that nutrition, that little extra help. This is a month to start seeds of tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants, and that way you can transplant them in March. I'm going to be having lots of questions for our next guest on seeds. Also, too, if you've planted strawberries, this is the season to do it. You want to make sure that you don't have critters getting into them. So you can add bird netting to your strawberry plantings. And then talking about fruiting and flowering trees, this is the pruning season for apples, grapes, peaches, pears, and your figs. And so you make sure that you're using sterile tools and that you're cutting diagonally. If you need to have some instructions on how to prune your apples and peaches and pears and figs, you can email me at she-consulting.com. We're going to be back with our next guest in the interview from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. January is the traditional month for ordering seeds. Seed packets can have between 10 and 100 seeds. What do you do when you want to buy seeds? And there's so many, you don't need 100 tomatoes, right? Well, maybe Gary does. Gary's coming up right next month. So maybe Gary does. But what if you could share your seeds and get back another variety of seeds in return without having to pay money? That would be amazing. A great way to get seeds free, right? Joining us right now is the creator of the National Seed Swap Day, my friend Kathy Jentz. Since we last talked with Kathy, she's been busy writing books. Kathy Jentz is an award-winning garden co-author of The Urban Gardener with Teresa Spite and author of Ground Cover Revolution. And Kathy's the editor also of two magazines, Washington Gardener and the International Water Gardening Society magazine. She also hosts her own podcast, Garden DC Podcast. We've had Kathy on in recent years to discuss her books and her water gardening passion. Her mission is to turn black thumbs green. Thank you for joining us this morning, Kathy. You had a busy week, too.
Ooh, I did, Teresa, but good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Where have you been this week?
So I was attending the Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show, better known as MANTS, which rhymes with pants. And that's where a lot of the East Coast horticulture business gets done. So that's where they do their ordering, their buying for garden centers, landscapers, landscape architects, that sort of thing.
I bet you saw a lot of cool new plants on the market.
Oh, yeah. There were some exciting new things. There's a couple colocasias. I know that you'll be champing at the bit to get to.
I will. And so, you know, the MANTS show is up in Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. And I am going to the TPIE next week, which is a tropical plant industry expo. And so I will be seeing the southeastern version of your show. So I love that you went there. So now while you were at the industry show this week, you were presented with an award. What did they give you an award for?
Yeah, it wasn't part of MANTS. It just happened to be that my friend Kelly Billing, whose company is Water Becomes a Garden, she's on the board of the International Water Lily and Water Gardening Society, and she said, I have something for you at my booth. And I'm thinking candy bar, right? And then I arrive at the booth, and she's got this beautiful plaque for me for editing the Water Garden Journal as a token of their appreciation for doing that for over a decade now.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a beautiful magazine. And so I really enjoy it. And if you're interested in water and gardening, it is a must get and have a subscription to. So I always enjoy having you on at the new year because you are responsible for creating National Seed Swap Day. So what is it and when do we celebrate it?
So it's always the last Saturday of January. And I always say, you know, if you do it 2 weeks beforehand, 3 weeks after, that's fine too. Just so you know, pick a date that you're going to do it. And you can go to seedswapday.com and check out some local seed swaps there, or you can start your own. But basically, it's just encouraging people to look at their seed inventory because, like you, I'm sure you have a drawer full of seeds somewhere, right?
I gave Tony a package of the 6 radishes. I gave him seed packets this morning.
We always have more than we can possibly grow. Like, you know, when you're collecting seeds from your zinnias, you know, one seed head is going to be more than you even need to grow for the next season. So, you know, just carefully label and collect those and, you know, put the date, put the variety if you know it, and as much information on the seed pack, and divide that up into little sachets or packets if you can. And then, you know, get some neighbors together, get your garden club together, do it at a local library, could be a master gardener group. I'm just encouraging these to happen all over the country and internationally.
I think that's important because, you know, sometimes when you go to order seeds, there's none available because everybody buys them. And so this is a great way to get them. And the cost is really good. Nothing. And so what kind of organizations participate, do you know, besides the garden clubs?
Yeah, sometimes it'll be your local parks department. Sometimes it'll be your local botanical garden will put it on. And I've also heard, again, from just a group of friends or neighbors that garden together and want to share and pool their resources. So, you know, you can make it as complex as you want to. You could have speakers like my events do, and have a snack in between and do some other programming with it. Or it can just be a simply, here's a couple picnic tables, put out your seeds and then take some seeds.
That would be great. Now, so how should people protect their seeds if they want to swap them? How do they keep them over, you know, time so that next year they can participate if they haven't done it before?
Yeah, that's super important. I think out of moisture is the biggest thing. So if you can put them in a glass jar, that's my number one tip. So I use my old Duke's mayonnaise jars. Those are perfect for that. Clean them out, of course.
Yeah, dry them off. Make sure they're dry.
Yeah. Very clean, nice jars. And I also put silica packets in there. You can get those from craft stores, or sometimes they come with your purse or shoe purchases. So that gets a little more dry. The next step up would be like a plastic container or Ziploc.
Okay. That seems easy enough. And so, if you have it, if you'd like to participate, where can people find out information in their area if there is any seed swaps events?
Yeah, so we're just getting the listing starting now at seedswapday.com. So if you have an event, you can send it to me at that website and just fill it out in the comments section and we'll add you in. If you don't see one already, as I said, there's a section on Seed Swap Day for how to run a seed swap. So you can consider running your own. But you could also just get in contact with your local master gardeners and ask around, and there's probably one happening near you.
Wonderful. I think it's a fun event. It's something schools could do. Children could bring their seeds from home and swap with other students in the classroom. So there's still time to organize an event if they haven't done it, right?
Sure. And like I said, it could be, you know, several weeks after the day. You can still use a logo. You can still use the slogan and everything. And I have one on that date in Maryland here at Brookside Gardens. And then I do one the following Saturday in Virginia at Green Spring Gardens.
Wow.
So we're not a stickler for having it on that exact date.
That's great. So now I knew you were coming on. So I have these two seed planting questions. So I'm asking one expert to another expert there. So I was hoping to get your opinion. One gardener is a northern transplant, recently moved to Florida and gardening for the first time. And the second is a garden aficionado and been growing and planting seeds in Florida for years. They planted seeds in November, and they were new seeds. The soils were organic, and they were watered correctly, but they never germinated. What do you think is the reason for that?
Well, could be the seeds that they got originally just have a very low germination rate, and they might, if they didn't use the whole packet, do a germination test. So that could be part of it. You could also have, is this directly into the ground, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Yeah. So then you could also have some little critter that came along and ate your seeds or little seedlings. I've actually had birds do that to me once, where they just plucked out all my pea seedlings one year. And very surprised.
Okay. And what about putting mulch over seeds?
Yeah, I would say very lightly, right? Because you want them still to be able to emerge. Mm-hmm. I'll even do like a little seedling starting mix that you would use in an indoor tray. I'll take that outside into the garden with me and just sprinkle that lightly over a row of seeds, because many of the seeds on the packet you need to read and see the depth. Some of them are an eighth of an inch, which is, you know, hardly anything. Some are a half inch down. Some are just scatter on the surface.
Right. Okay, so that's important, the depth of the seeds. Now, how do you feel about trays, seed trays, to start and get transplants?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea to get a jump start on the season if you want to do that. And, you know, you can care for them and watch them a little bit better than you could maybe outside. Obviously, if there's flooding rains, you're not going to have that problem inside, hopefully.
Right, right.
So you can do
this
that.
This is Florida, you know, you never know.
Exactly. So that's another reason that happened, that the seeds might not germinate. That had happened to me one year in my vegetable garden plot, is they had just washed away because we had, you know, real flooding rain, and I was like, going to start those again.
That's great. And so Kathy, tell us again where someone who's interested in starting their own seed swap day or going and participating in one, where they can find an event.
Sure. It's seedswapday.com.
That's wonderful. Now tell us, we've had some questions today about someone wanting to plant a backyard that has a dog, and what kind of ground cover would work. Now, you're the author of the award-winning Ground Cover Revolution. And so what would you suggest that they use for ground cover?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, because pet-friendly ground cover is just like pet-friendly indoor carpeting and rugs or flooring. Super tough, super hard. So I think a nice, tough native sedge, low-growing sedge, is probably a good solution. If the dog does a little bit of digging here or there, maybe you have to go and repair those plugs, right? If they get dislodged,
right?
You might have to go in and do that. But give the dog their own area, maybe even mulch a certain area. Just, you know, that's where the pine bark mulch or shredded mulch might be. Just to say, maybe nothing is going to grow in this section. Let's
just mulch it.
Yes, just mulch that and let them, that's your digging area.
There you go.
You know, and keep guiding them. This isn't where you do this. This is where you do this. Right.
Thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate it. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Kathy Jentz, and she is the author of Ground Cover Revolution and also co-author of The Urban Gardener with Teresa Spite. She is amazing. She's so talented. And she is the creator of National Seed Swap Day.
I went through my seeds and I was doing them by month. And then I walked outside and opened up my little cabinet on my porch. And I have a whole nother bucket of seeds. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, did they just make themselves?
You know what? We should do our own seed swap day here. I'll bring you my seeds and you can take what you want.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Sounds good.
Thank you so much to Kathy Jentz. National Seed Swap Day. You want to participate, it's January 27th, but you can do it a couple weeks before or a couple weeks afterwards. This is Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. We'll Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is a great time for your phone calls. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I have to say, Lizzie, that sometimes we get so many phone calls or text messages that we can't get to them all.
Mm-hmm.
But I always take a snapshot of them. And if they want to email me after the show, they can do that too by going to betterlawns.com.
Exactly.
And email it to me. So we apologize if we don't get to every call. But Jim from Ocoee, he asked the question last hour, how to propagate a giant milkweed. And this giant milkweed's from Africa. And it's a beautiful tree, has wonderful star-like purple flowers, and the butterflies absolutely love it. It is a wonderful butterfly attractor, and it is a very easy to propagate. You can do it by cuttings, Jim. And so what I would do is cut the stem, cut you a piece about 8 to 12 inches long, strip the leaves down that's going to be below the ground, cut it diagonally, and then put some rooting hormone on it, and just put it in some pots and put it in the shade. And in about 6 to 8 weeks, you will be able to have new ones. And I would probably do 3 or 4 at a time so that you can get more, so that in case one doesn't make it, the others will. But it also can be propagated by seeds. And if you have flower seeds, you can do that as well. So that is the giant milkweed. Grows in zones 9 to 11, and it gets big. It'll get to be 6 to 7 feet tall if it's in a really good spot that it loves. Doesn't need a lot of water. It's very drought tolerant, and it could get a little damaged by cold weather in zone 9, but it will recover. So it is a great plant. So, Jim, yes, go ahead and do the cuttings. Let me know how you do. You can do the air layering, or cut your own stem cuttings, like I said, about 8 to 10, 12 inches long, and put them in a pot. So we have Adria from Lady Lake, and she said, good morning to Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. And she loved the Ubaitori philosophy, the Japanese philosophy of non-judgment, the goal for 2024 for me. Can you suggest an easy to care for indoor plant? She says, I don't have an outdoor garden, but I have some nice plants which I will need to cover as the days get colder. Yes, especially up there in Lady Lake, the villages. She said, thank you. And I listen to you and Lizzie every Saturday morning.
Oh,
I
thank you.
That's a great, great thing to say. So here are some great plants. And Andrea, if you have a pen and paper, if not, you can listen to the show again and in our podcast and get these for you. The very one I like, and it just depends on how much room you have, how big. Do you want a little pot for your desk or your little kitchen shelf? Or do you want one for a corner of your house? You know, or do you want something that's going to go on a shelf, a bigger shelf, or you want a hanging basket? So depending on what you want, these are my recommendations. And these are all tried and true. The ZZ plant. Now, this is a Zamifolia. ZZ plant, very easy to find. They are very architectural. They have a great foliage, dark green. They don't need a lot of light, so they can go into a room that is dim. My daughter and son-in-law, they have one that's just tremendous, and they do with it very well. Then there's also the devil's ivy pothos that will make a great hanging basket or a potted plant that will hang over. And that's very easy, the pothos. Just yesterday, I was in a commercial building, and they had beautiful snake plants in pots. And again, very architectural, very good for a modern, mid-century modern home, and very easy care, needs watering maybe once a month, and you just no insect, no disease problems. And they come in a variety of different sizes and colors. Just wonderful. So his snake plants are great. And then there's the money tree, which will do really well inside. And it's not as tender as ficus trees. Ficus can get a little temperamental, and they can drop their leaves when they get pissy.
That, or if you believe it or not, at least from my experience, whenever I used to work in an office, if I moved it,
it would drop its leaves.
It goes, not today.
Nope. And it just drops all its leaves. Now, it'll recover,
But it's just, you know, yeah. What, you don't need something that temperamental, right? And so then you can go with Xanadus or split leaf philodendrons for a pot. And those are nice. Spider plants make great hanging baskets and do really well in low lighting. Then the dragon tree or a dracaena, there's different varieties of them. They do well, and they kind of are more like a tree, a small tree. They can get to be, you know, they can get to be tall, but in a house, about 3 foot tall. And then for the smaller ones, you can do peace lilies, which are nice, don't need a lot of light, don't need a lot of care. And prayer plants. Have you ever grown a prayer plant?
No, I haven't.
Those are really cool. They fold their leaves up at night.
Oh.
And so they're really cool. They open their leaves during the day, and they unfold them, and then at night they just bring them right back up again.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
No, I never noticed that.
And
okay.
So you say your prayers at night, and so prayer plants are good. So, Andrea, I think that gives you a good list. Let me know what you select and what you need. Susan in Tallahassee, she asks, I need to move a camellia, and she's really good. This is a perfect text message. She gave me her name. She gave a location or city. And then the plant, she described it. She gave me the height and the dimension, 3 feet tall, one inch to 2 inch diameter. I think that's 1 foot, 1 to 2 foot diameter. Should I put it in a pot first until it recovers or put it right in the ground? Well, if it's blooming right now, I would wait till after it finishes blooming. And then in February or March, go ahead and just put it right in the ground. Okay, and so that is great. Now, if it's in the ground now, you're going to need to root prune it, and I would do that about a week ahead of time. Just take your shovel and cut all the way around it, send it into a mini little shock, and what it's going to do, it's going to say it needs to survive, so it's going to start sending out new roots. Then a week to 10 days later, you just pop it up and put it into a new area. You do not need to amend that soil, and it'll be good.
But not right now, though.
Not right now.
What month are you kind of guessing?
End of February, first part of March. And that'll be good. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have plenty of time for your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. We can talk about what's going on in your yard. So I would like to just remind everyone that we have the National Garden Club Standard Flower Show presented by the Orlando Garden Club. It's going to be at 710 East Rollins Street, Orlando. It's going to be Friday, January 19th, 2024, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Saturday, January 20th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's free, open to the public. Children are welcome. And you can go ahead and, take advantage of trying to get some new ideas for your plants. Also, too, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland is going to be having their rose recipe for roses success workshop at 9:30. That's today. And then there's also a, what did Howie say? He said there is a camellia show today in Lakeland at 1 to 4 p.m. And it's at the First Presbyterian Church at Lake Hollingsworth Drive.
Oh,
so
wow.
Lots of things to do. This is Florida. Gardening is booming and a lot of great events to take care of. Let's go to Alice. Good morning, Alice. How can I help you?
Hi. I have snake plants, and I didn't realize how they propagate in pots. And they are now, filling the pot with 6 or 8 plants. And I realized that they should be separated. But when I have separated them before, then they don't always do so well. And also, I don't know what to do with all of them. I've offered them to people, and so many people have said, well, we have some, too. Everybody seems to have.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy. But I don't, I just don't like to to kill any plants. And so
what do you
do? I know people set them out on the road, but I don't have a road that people come up very often.
Right.
So
I know that this is going to sound harsh, but Alice, sometimes you just got to throw plants away. And, you know, the snake plant reproduces quite a bit. It really is, and it's considered an invasive plant. So it's not a plant that I would recommend outdoors unless it is kept secure, like in a raised bed or in a pot outside or in, you know, surrounded by cement, because it does propagate very easily and it just goes everywhere. And I hate to see it in conversation. So I would just say, just bite the bullet and throw them away, Alice. Great question. And so that was good. John in Osteen, when to feed blueberries? Okay. And blueberries right now should be dormant where you are, John in Osteen. So I would recommend you starting to feed them in late February, first part of March. Okay. Start as soon as you start to see the temperatures warming up. Springtime is when you want to fertilize. Right now, they're pretty much dormant. Mine are all red. I love them. They're a great plant for color and make a great hedge. And they're red. Mine are red right now. But, John, great question. Also, too, how to remove black mold. Where is the black mold, John? That's what I need to know. Because if you, you know, if it's on your driveway or on steps or your patio, then you can use a basic chlorine pool cleaner, you know, to get rid of the black mold. But if it's in the ground or in a pot, I would say, or with something living in it, you know, if you've got it around plants, I would wonder why you're having the black mold. And it may be that it's getting too much water or there's not a good drainage on it. So I'd need to know that question before I could tell you, you know, what to use on it. John in Palm Bay texted, will a pre-emergent prevent my Augustine grass from filling in bare spots or prevent plugs from growing? Thank you. I would say that I wouldn't, if you just put in plugs, I wouldn't use a pre-emergent. But pre-emergents tackle seeds. They don't let seeds germinate. So they're not going to affect your existing turf area. But if it's just a newly sodded area, or you put new plugs in or want to put plugs in, I wouldn't put a pre-emergent in those areas, okay? That makes, it'll just delay it or just not allow it to be thrive as much as it could. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. We've got a few more minutes here. What can you be planting for vegetables? It's still winter time, guys. So you could be planting beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, and cauliflower, and celery, collards, endive, horseradish, kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, mustard, onion sets. We've got to get our onions in the ground. Peas and potatoes, radicchio, radishes, and roquette. Rutabagas. If you've never had an Irish stew with rutabagas, you have not lived.
That's right. You're missing out.
You're missing out. And spinach and Swiss chard and turnips, or as we say in Scotland, neeps. Neeps and tatties for potatoes. And so I would start using transplants. I wouldn't be planting seeds right now for that. I would be starting your seeds for tomatoes and peppers and your eggplant right now. But for winter vegetables, do transplants if you can still find them. That would be great. And so I think I've answered everyone's questions. Yeah, thank you so much for responding. I think I got everybody. So, Lizzie, I've made sure I've got everybody, I think, on the questions and answers. And so what can you be planting for herbs? This is a great time of the year for herbs. And so anise, bay laurel, cardamom, chives, and coriander, fennel, garlic and ginger, lavender and mint, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage. I'm going to start singing soon. Sweet marjoram, thyme, and watercress. So herbs are really good to grow right now. Let's go to Carol, and she is in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How can I help you?
Hi. A few months ago, y'all talked about the frilly hibiscus, you know, that hangs down.
Yes.
Pretty little flower. Well, so I got one, and it's totally just keeps growing taller and taller and taller. I don't know how to make it branch out without stopping the top growth.
Okay. So it does get tall. I've seen it get as tall as 8 feet tall. Okay. So it's a regular hibiscus, and hibiscus do get tall. I wouldn't cut it yet. So I would wait till springtime, okay. March or April, and you can then cut it back down to about 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall, wherever you'd like it to be, and it will start to branch out from there. If you cut it now, it's going to send out...
Yeah, I want to keep it tall. I don't want to really cut the top, but I want it to branch. It's only got one branch.
Okay, well, if it's only got one branch, then I would just go ahead and in the springtime, just, you know, and when I say springtime, I'm meaning February, March, late February, March, go ahead and fertilize it. Are you fertilizing it now?
I don't know. I think so. I don't Okay, so I need to fertilize it.
You need to fertilize it. But as soon as it gets tall, so the secret to hibiscus is and it's spreading out is to cut it. So you may, how old is it? How long have you had it in the ground?
Oh, maybe less than a year.
Okay, so if it gets damaged by the cold weather, then you can cut back off the dead part. It will sprout out again. But then in August, then you can cut it back again and it will sprout out more. Okay, so you're just going to want to keep cutting it in increments, and that'll get it to expand, to get bigger.
Yeah, it's about 7 feet tall now. It's you know, nice and tall.
There you go. Well, keep an eye on it this next weekend, all right? It may not be so tall after next weekend. Thank you, Carol. Great question.
Gotcha.
All right.
Thank you.
I do want to thank Tina Tuttle. She is the president of the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs for coming on. And check out their Arbor Day events coming up. Check out the Orlando Garden Show next weekend at the Orlando Garden Club, which is right behind Advent Health Hospital in downtown Orlando, but it's also College Park area. And then also, too, a big thank you to my friend Kathy Gents. For her National Seed Swap Day. I love that. I know somebody that's created a holiday that's really gotten taken off and it's just so popular.
Right.
If you want to, Lizzie and I are going to talk about Seed Swap Day.
Yep. And you don't have to do it this second because we can grow all year long. We have different seasons. So who knows? We may have one in the fall. Who knows?
Right. Exactly. And so that way, you know, you can go ahead and have lots of different plants for really inexpensive. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to start conserving, you know, your money. And so it's a great way to do it.
Exactly.
I also want to thank our sponsors, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and also Quality Green Nurseries, Black Cow. They're all great. Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland and so many others. We want to thank them. And, you know, when you do use their services, please let them know that. We want to thank all the callers today and all our text messages.
That's right. We have the best listeners in the whole wide world. So thank you. You guys call, you text. And even if you think of something real quickly over the weekend, send us a text because Monday morning, well, not this Monday morning, but the next morning I'm in, it's still on our screen. I take a picture and I send it to Teresa.
There you go. And if you haven't gotten a response, then it probably didn't show up in my email or was, you know, considered spam. And try again. That'll be great. I'm going to talk to you about your staghorn fern, too, when I get off the air here. Thank you, Lizzie. I always love working with you, and you do such a great job. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.